It's better over here.
Now at T-Mobile, get four 5G phones on us and four lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
It's better over here. After investing billions to light up our network, T-Mobile is America's largest 5G network. Plus, right now, you can switch, keep your phone, and we'll pay it off up to $800. See how you can save on every plan versus Verizon and AT&T at T-Mobile.com/keep and switch.
Up to four lines via virtual prepaid card. Allow 15 days. Qualifying unlocked device credit service ported 90 plus days with device and eligible carrier and timely redemption required. Card has no cash access and expires in 6 months.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, three-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thursday, that means our K-State insider, Tim Fitzgerald, GoPowerCat.com. We bring in Fitz. Fitz, we always love to come to you with our cultural needs as well as our K-State needs. You don't know anything about this, but I have to know because it is something that we've been talking about probably more than we should. Do you know what an upside-down pineapple represents?
Yes.
How did I miss this? So I've learned – so we have Hawaiian Shirt Wednesdays here on the program, as I think you know. And I learned on a recent trip back home by somebody – one of my favorite Hawaiians is loaded with them, and I had no idea what that implied.
You were really popular that day.
I think so. I was like, man, everybody's being so nice to me.
Hey, you want to meet my wife?
I've been wearing that shirt for like 3-4 years, like at least once a week in the summertime. Had no idea. And I figured if anybody Yeah, if anybody knew what that meant,
and
it
by
would
the
be
way,
you.
You know how like peacocks, when you know they spread their feathers out, they're presenting. Yep. Clearly, you've been presenting for a few years.
I think so. I guess so. I didn't even know. But hey, what we'll see. All right, Fitz. K-State. I don't know how else to describe this. This game terrifies me. I don't like. It's not. You know, I was excited about the Colorado game. I was really getting hyped up for it. I'm not excited about this game at all. Like, not even a little bit. This game has trap written all over it. The hope is that K-State knows that. The hope is that, you know, they can't let that sneak up on them. And I don't think they'll mean to. But, man, the late night in Colorado, all the injuries sustained in that game, having to go the other direction now, and Kansas looming next week. Like, it checks all the boxes.
Yeah, it does. And this was the game I picked at the start of the season to be the linchpin game, because I feel like sandwiched between what was going to be and was a really emotional, hard-hitting game at Colorado, and you got Kansas on the other side, which I'm going to recognize is diminished in stature a little bit this year, but it's still Kansas. They're still good, and it's still a rivalry. And you got West Virginia on the road right in the middle of those two. It's been the game that I think will decide what K-State's fate is this season. If they go and lose this one, they're going to lose three or four games. I fear they'll lose maybe three. And if they win, guys, they can just go take care of business until they go to Iowa State. You know, you can lose any game in this conference. We know that. But you got three games at home in there and a road game at Houston before you go to Iowa State. So this game opens up great possibilities for K-State, or it slams the door shut.
Fitz, there were so many takeaways from the Colorado game. The one that sticks out to me almost a week after that game that I'm still thinking about and really figuring out what it means for this team, you know, for the rest of the season, is that DJ Giddens might be the best running back in the Big 12. He probably is the best running back in the Big 12 and has solidified himself, I think, in that regard. Just, you know, incredibly effective, and his production, you know, continues to increase with this team. And so offensively, when you've got all of these weapons and you've got all these different things in the way that, you know, they want to run this offense with Avery Johnson at the helm, having a, you know, Mr. Reliable, consistent ground threat in DJ Giddens, that's paramount for the Wildcats, especially as they get into the second half of the season.
Well, DJ Giddens has taken a huge step this season. He's gone from a guy when he first started out that, you know, was going to fall forward, you know, take on tackles, fearless, to having some moves, you know, being able to throw a spin move in. At Colorado, he earned every yard. I mean, he would pop through the line and there'd be a tackler, and that tackler, let's just use the name Shiloh, would end up on his knees praying that he could possibly touch DJ Giddens. His ability to make tacklers miss in that game was unbelievable. And then he'd add in, I'm going to run your butt over. He's turned into a really special running back. And I said this earlier this week on one of my daily delivery videos. He's going to go down as one of the great running backs at Kansas State. And who would have thunk that a year ago? I mean, two seasons ago, certainly not. A year ago, maybe. But this year, he's made it very clear. He's among the best at K-State. And that's incredible. He's a self-made back. And I just love him for it.
Yeah, and he doesn't look like what you think he's going to look like either. And you know he'll be a big part of this game. What have you scouted on West Virginia? We know, or at least it's appeared to me for a while, Kansas State wants to play teams that throw the ball, and they're willing to let them throw the ball, and they want to create sack and turnover opportunities for the defense. Is West Virginia going to do that, or is West Virginia going to do what they should and try to run the ball first against K-State?
Yeah, they're a run-first team. Garrett Green's one of my favorite quarterbacks in the Big 12, not because his skill set's elite, but his heart is. He fights. He scraps. He is not a bad thrower, but by Big 12 standards, he's below average comparing to the other quarterbacks in this league. So I expect him to get out and scoot around quite a bit. The one thing Kansas State really hasn't faced this year in this run of trying to force teams to throw is a true running threat at quarterback, and he brings that. So that's a whole different dimension for K-State to take on. But this could be a quick game. Both teams are going to want to run.
Let's talk about the Wildcat defense a little bit, Fitz. In the game against Colorado, the pass rush was clearly the leader when it came to what they wanted to do defensively. I mean, you know, and some of that is on Shador Sanders. Sanders is so dynamic that, you know, when they were able to make him uncomfortable, that was when they had the best success. When we look at the secondary, though, for the Wildcats, you know, Sanders put up some good numbers when he had time to pass against Kansas State. Is that indicative of anything moving forward with the secondary that needs to be improved upon? Or is that more of the fact that Shador Sanders is just a great quarterback?
Well, yeah, that was a big part of it. He was really special.
Yeah.
He was constantly being harassed and still completing passes. He's better than I ever imagined, to be honest. And there's some holes in the secondary. There's no doubt about that. They're not as good in zone coverage. You can see it. First of all, I hate zone coverage, particularly when guys are protecting an area of grass and not the receiver standing 3 feet away from them, which is pretty common when you see that in zone coverage. And they have some, you know, questions in the secondary now. You know, who's all going to be healthy after that rash of injuries at Colorado? Coach Kleiman thought they'd all be ready to go, but that was on Monday. You know, he thought they'd know better by Wednesday. So maybe this afternoon when we talk to the coordinators, we'll have a better idea. But they don't have a whole lot of cornerback depth, at least quality, experience depth. And to have Jacob Parrish go down and be questionable for this game, it's not a good sign.
It's so unusual. Tim Fitzgerald, publisher, GoPowerCat.com, joining us. It's so unusual to see flash and flare at a K-State. I think it catches people off guard. But I got to tell you, I love the prime dance in the end zone. I love the selfie with the fan on the bike. I love all of it. I do look for the little things, and I think that matters in putting K-State in the headlines and on the front of highlights and on the videos. I think that matters for the program big picture. How are people taking that flash from a program that, you know, is Bill Snyder, right? It's Chris Kleiman. It's like none of that. Like, we don't do any, but clearly Avery Johnson does, and it's unusual, but I think it's awesome. How are people taking it?
None of it feels staged. None of it feels
forced. No, I don't think it
forced.
Is at all.
And yeah. It's just him, and it's fun. That selfie was hysterical. And how many people, K-State fans, said, what would Coach Snyder do if that happened on his sideline? Well, Coach Snyder wouldn't have made it this long in the NIL era to start with.
And he wouldn't have recruited Avery Johnson either.
Yeah, he probably wouldn't have landed him. So, look, he's just a special player. He's a really special young man. And we're seeing him grow and develop. And I think those signs are kind of indications of his growing confidence, that he knows who he is as a player and what he can do. He was pretty darn good at Colorado. But that was also a game where just hang on to DJ Giddens. He's going to pull you across the line. And he did, even in the last drive. I mean, just a huge catch and run out to the 50. But Avery put the ball where it needed to be put on the last two pass plays and got him into the end zone. He's a gamer, and he's only going to get better.
Fitz, we talked a lot, you know, especially coming into this season, about the offensive line at Kansas State and basically the need to rebuild that offensive line. And I think that while, you know, it probably hasn't been perfect, knowing what Kansas State has been able to do from that perspective in run blocking and even pass blocking on Avery Johnson, taking on a West Virginia team that's got a kid in TJ Jackson who is really good at getting into the backfield, this is going to be a decent test for them, especially, you know, as it relates to protecting Avery Johnson.
Yeah, you're right. I think they're going to really just try to run the ball most of the day.
Yeah.
And the question here is Avery available to run the ball? Because of his injury at Colorado, they took that off the table in the game. And, you know, people were wondering why he wasn't running. He wasn't – they were trying to protect him because he was dinged up pretty good, I think, with that hip. So will he be back in the game plan to run the ball? If not, it's going to get interesting because – they're just going to have to line up and run it with DJ and Dylan Edwards and get the job done. But yeah, when they have to pass, he's got to be mobile. If he's not, he's just going to be under a lot of pressure, and he didn't move around as much in the pocket as I expected him to do at Colorado, but they're going to be after him, and I don't blame him. He's a little bit limited right now, and we'll see what he can put on the field.
That's interesting. We're talking line and DJ Giddens and all these things, because they probably do have to run the ball. That bye week to get everybody rested isn't for a while. It's not. They'll play three games before they get the extra rest. Looking at the Big 12 as a whole, I'm not surprised that it's competitive. I think it's a little upside down from what we thought, Fitz. But I look at it, and I know we talk. I don't think K-State can lose a game. Nothing changes every week that we get another week in, and I think it's even less likely that they can afford to lose another game and play in the Big 12 championship game. They've got a Texas Tech scheduling problem. They've got a BYU problem on a tiebreaker. It just doesn't seem likely to me that it seems like they got to win out.
Yeah, I agree. What I'm loving about how this is playing out, and we know the Big 12 could, every right. underdog could win this weekend.
Yeah.
But the way this is playing out is going to put a lot of pressure on the College Football Playoff Committee. I mean, you're looking at a conference that could end up with three teams, 11 or 12 wins. And so one team might be 11-1 and sitting on the sideline, not even playing on championship Saturday. What do you do with them? I mean, they're 11-1. You could end up with three one-loss teams out of the Big 12 at the end of the day. And what are they going to do with that? So we're going to find out a lot. This is going to test the committee. Are they really committed to just putting SEC teams in this playoff? Or are they really committed to putting the best teams in this playoff? Because I think we're learning that college football is evening out. Seeing Alabama retreat a little bit is good for college football. Seeing Ohio State, Michigan, and lose is good for college football. I just pose this question to all of those who think the Big Ten and SEC are superior. How come teams from the Big 12 and Pac-12 walked in and are leading those conferences? How's that possible if those two conferences have always been better and much far superior? You add teams from different conferences and they start winning the games. That should be impossible in your fantasy world, but it's not. It's happening. There's not that big a gap between these conferences, and never was. It's just a lot of marketing.
You know as well as I do, Fitz, that if Georgia loses to Texas this week and they have two losses and they're out of the SEC championship game and BYU goes unbeaten and loses in a Big 12 championship game and you've got Georgia sitting there with two losses and BYU with one, you know damn good and well who's going to the playoff. I mean, there is no chance they're putting one loss BYU in over two loss Georgia. I mean, no chance.
No chance. Nobody in the country would be picked over two loss Georgia with one loss. I really believe that. Maybe if Ohio State didn't get in, but man, they just lean into those brands so much. And you do have to stop and wonder if Georgia's losing to Big 12 teams that, you know, for example, Texas, that hadn't won a Big 12 championship till last year in any significant time period. What's that mean? I mean, look, let's let this play out. But it's going to get very interesting. We're going to find out about the future of college football. If the books are cooked for the SEC and Big Ten this year, we might find out right out of the gate that's happening. And that will probably be a great controversy and something that Brett Yormark is going to have to really hammer back at, not push back, hammer back at.
Fitz, you're kind of our conference realignment expert here on the program. You know, this news dropped about, 2 weeks ago, a little less than 2 weeks ago, of the College Student Football League and sort of that implosion of the FBS, that there are multiple university presidents and athletic directors that are proposing this. And the full rollout came just a couple of weeks ago. Is this a legitimate thing? Is this something that we can think about as potentially happening down the road? I'm guessing that there's a really long and uphill battle to get this to fruition.
Yeah, I think there's now three plans on the table. What they have in common is, for the most part, is getting rid of conferences and football, and at least at the upper level, and just have everyone play in a giant conference, and that allows you to kind of reorganize and go back around and have play more regional conferences for the rest of your sports. So there's some real benefits to it. The problem is the Big Ten and SEC, again, just think they're so far superior to everyone. They don't want 70. They just want their two conferences because, you know, Purdue is surely better than everyone in the Big 12. I mean, this is just nonsense. What Greg Sankey in particular at the SEC is trying to do is literally destroy college football for profit. And it's gross. And hopefully the rest of college football can push back and say, no, let's be inclusive. I mean, look at what's happening. Vanderbilt just beat Alabama, and you want to exclude teams that you think are lesser? That's not why people watch college football.
Right.
They watch it for those upsets.
You got to have the Cinderella factor. That's why the NCAA tournament's so successful. I agree. One more on that, kind of in that note, and I can't remember if we've talked about this, but the Pac-12, as it grows, to me, is screaming basketball contract, basketball TV deal. And I think, you know, we've been saying that forever with Brett Yormark. To us, it's pretty clear that's what he's doing. That's what the Pac-12 is doing, too, which makes me feel good about what Brett Yormark's doing.
I think there's a realization on the athletic department side of this and the conference side that the networks have been stealing college basketball. They just have been underpaying for college basketball. And they've set a number of 10% of your contract is college basketball, and it delivers far more for that. I almost feel like they're trying to break even on football and make all their money on basketball because they have so much more inventory there, and the numbers are so huge for football. But, yeah, I think this next time around, we're going to see the Big 12 pursue individual contracts for football and basketball, or football and all other sports probably. And if the Pac-12 is doing that too, this will be probably a college athletic-wide movement to get more money out of basketball. Because you just look at the NCAA tournament, how valuable that is. Are you telling me that the regular season has no value?
It's never made sense. It's never made sense. I agree. All right, what do we have at GoPowerCat.com that we got to find before the game on Saturday night?
We got our preview of the game. Our podcast is up. It's on video just like this, so you can stare at my face, or you can turn off the video. That's probably better. And just our typical weekly coverage. I mean, we've got the Friday walkthrough coming. We've got a lot of nuts and bolts on the game, a lot of VIP stuff, analysis. I'll have my five keys up tomorrow on the site. So we're cooking. It's that time of year where we're just in the heat of the season, and these back-to-back road games are going to be a real challenge for K-State. But I think we can all recognize it's a real challenge for an old fart like me. So I'm going to just put my head down and survive. But I love West Virginia. I love going out there.
I was tired. Great music. You know, rowdy people. I'm with you on that. All right, yeah. Fitz. Be good. We'll talk again next
week. Thanks, boys. Great talk to you.
In the fast-paced world of attacking, speed is everything. And that's where the Furon 7 Plus shines. Engineered for accuracy and precision at a rapid pace, it's your secret weapon on the pitch. Experience overall comfort and precise striking, even in the game's fastest moments. The nylon outsole, with its V-shaped stud configuration, is designed for firm ground, giving you the grip you need to outmaneuver your opponents. Step up your attacking game and learn more and purchase the Furon at newbalance.com. It's better
over here. Now at T-Mobile, get 4 5G phones on us and 4 lines for $25 a line per month when you switch with eligible trade-ins. All on America's largest 5G network.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto-pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto-pay, plus taxes and fees and $10 device connection charge. Phones via 24 monthly bill credits for well-qualified customers. Contact us before canceling entire account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on a required finance agreement due. Bill credits end if you pay off devices early. See T-Mobile.com.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Come join me, Andrew Filippone.
And me, Patrick Peterson, 3-time NFL All-Pro cornerback on First and Pod for premier NFL coverage and conversations.
Our motto on the podcast is every team, every week, and we don't play favorites. Every episode, you get a glimpse of the entire National Football League with First and Pod. Follow and listen to First and Pod on Mondays and Fridays on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.